good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Panic Podcast. And if you are in Southwest Virginia, I bet you're cold. 16 degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah, boy, it's cold. But it's going to warm up. Let's just be a little bit patient. It's Friday, and thank you for tuning in. Glad to have you with us. We are beginning our study of the Holy Spirit with an emphasis on the gifts of the Spirit today. So get your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll begin momentarily. That's a little bit of big band music. It's the real deal big band. And I don't know if you could hear it in there, but there was a Wurlitzer organ in the background. Good to have you with us today. And let's see, since last we were together on Wednesday, we still have snow on the ground. Not as much as they thought, but we still have snow. It's bitterly cold, and it is still snowing. There's snow in the air today, big fluffy flakes. If I were up in Sault Ste. Marie, I would I'd take a drive up to Searchmont and go skiing. There's a world-class ski resort up there just north of town, and I used to love going there to ski when I was younger. And I think they're probably closed today because of the weather. They've got some extreme cold up there too. Well, let's get going here. For the next probably eight Fridays, this will get us through the winter. We're going to be studying the spiritual gifts and the Holy Spirit. And this is an introductory lesson today to the series. Even though the Lord gives all his people one or more spiritual gifts, there's some basic facts that relate to all of them. So you probably should bookmark this particular study or take good notes, because you're going to need to refer back to some of the things that we talk about today, all right? Because they concern all of the spiritual gifts that Paul enumerates in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 7. So why don't we read that passage right now to get things started, all right? Get your Bibles open. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 7. Now, I'm reading from the TNIV, but follow along in whatever version you enjoy. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And that's where we'll stop reading today. I know you want to go on, and we will. I promise you, we're going to look at each and every one of those particular gifts that Paul lists. Now, I'm trying to think of the best way to approach this. There's five main points, all right? Five main points to the lesson today. And the first point is this. All of the gifts are given to honor the Lord, all right? 1 Corinthians 12:3. I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So every single one of the spiritual gifts listed in the New Testament are given to honor the Lord. They all point to him. So even as the gifts are being manifested, they should be pointing onlookers to Jesus Christ. If the person manifesting the particular gift of the Spirit is the one getting all the attention, something is wrong. All the gifts are given to honor and to bring glory to Jesus Christ. Jesus is, I mean, when you stop and think about it, that only makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, Jesus is at the very heart of all Christendom. Everything related to the faith points to Jesus Christ. I mean, the book of Acts says, this is part of Paul's great sermon to the Athenians, Acts 17:28, in him, that is to say, in Christ, we live and move and have our being. We would not be here were it not for Jesus Christ. There would be no faith apart from Jesus Christ. All the Christian has and all he does is to honor Jesus Christ. So it's probably a good time right now to pause for a second and to take stock of your life. How are you doing on that? Are you honoring Jesus Christ with everything you have? Your talents, your finances? Are you glorifying the Lord in everything that you do and in everywhere that you go? Another thing I would say too is that not only is Jesus Christ the center of the Christian faith, he is the central message of the New Testament. All the messages and all the promises in the New Testament point either directly or indirectly to him. And Jesus Christ is to be honored by all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The only purpose of the gifts of the Spirit is to honor Jesus. Well, let me rephrase that. The main purpose, the number one purpose of all the gifts is to honor our Lord. A secondary purpose is to build up the church. The church is where you exercise your spiritual gifts. They're designed to edify believers, all right? Not just yourself, but other believers. That's why you have those gifts. Any gift that does not honor Christ is not of the Spirit. If the gift of the Spirit is not used to honor Jesus, then the person exercising that gift is really sinning against God. And that's an important thing to keep in mind too, okay? All the gifts are designed to honor the Lord. The second major point is that, as I covered a moment ago or mentioned, all gifts are for building up the church. Now, let's look at verse 7 of the passage we just read, 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now, to each one, that is to say, each believer, and in the context of 1 Corinthians, he's talking to each member of the Corinthian church, but we know this applies to all members of all churches for all time. So to each Christian, one of the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That is the common good of the church. Okay, you don't exercise your spiritual gifts outside of the church because they wouldn't make sense to anybody, to non-believers. The things of the Spirit make no sense to the world, all right? But they make all the sense in the world to Christians, to members of your church. Now, to each one, to each member, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The church is the body of Christ. Look at verse 27 in the same chapter. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. So the church is the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is where the gifts of the Spirit are to be exercised. And in order for the body to function as it should, it needs to be strong. It needs to be built up. And the gifts of the Spirit are given to members of the body of Christ for that very purpose, to build up the whole body. So that's why I say the gifts of the Spirit are not just to build you up as an individual, but they're given to build up the whole assembly, the whole congregation. And the other thing that's very interesting to me to think about too, and just to show you how seriously the Lord takes this whole idea of the building up of his church, is that the church is divinely established by Christ himself. You know, Matthew 16, 18, Jesus says that I will build my church. The Lord placed his church on the earth for the propagation of the gospel. And for the church to properly fulfill this mission, she must have divine gifts. We can't do the work that we are called to do without the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are to enable the body of Christ to do its work here on earth. Any person or talent that becomes divisive in the church is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. That's an important point to keep in mind. In your church, if you have somebody exercising a particular gift of the Spirit and it brings division to your church, or if it causes problems in your church, then you have to reconsider whether that manifestation that you are seeing from that individual is the real deal or not. And if you have a good pastor that knows what he's doing, he's probably already on it. But you need to keep that in mind. And that's why, you know, for example, when Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, that's why he told the believers to gather in Jerusalem and to wait patiently for the gift of the Holy Spirit. They could not do the work without being endued, you know, with power from on high. So if you want to function as a useful member of the body of Christ, you need to be exercising your gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know what your gifts of the Spirit are. I have no idea. We're going to look at the ones that Paul enumerates here in 1 Corinthians 12. We'll be doing that in a couple weeks' time. We'll start. But there are other gifts of the Spirit given throughout the New Testament. So they're all given for a very distinct purpose, and you all have at least one. Of course, Jesus had all of them, but he was the Son of God, so you'd expect that. But you all have one or more of the gifts of the Spirit, and it's up to you to discover what they are. I can't tell you what they are. Your pastor may be able to help you with that if you talk to him about it. You need to discover what those gifts are that you possess. And the third major point is that all the gifts, every single one of them, are for a common cause. Let's put it that way. Each gift is to supplement and complement all the others. So no gift of the Spirit works independently of the others. No gift is an end within itself, nor an entity alone. Every gift of the Spirit is to function in relation to all the others within the body of Christ. And blessed is the church that has members who feel free enough to exercise their particular gifts. And shame on you if you are a Christian who does not attend a church regularly, because you have gifts that a church needs. That's why you need to be in the church as often as you can, you know, three times on Sunday if your church has three services on a Sunday. You need to be in there, and you need to be exercising your gifts because somebody in that church needs it. They need you to be there, and you need to be there to be ministered to by the various gifts of the Spirit in your particular church. Each Christian is to use the gifts he or she has to supplement and complement all the other gifts of all the other members of the church. And this is what enables all the work of the Lord to progress. He endows some of his children with one ability, others with another gift, and they're to use those together for the work of the Lord, right? For example, on a football team, some members are assigned to block and others are to run with the ball. but it takes both to be a successful team. So, when you're a member of a church, you are part of the body. That's what Paul gets to in 1 Corinthians 12, 26. If one part suffers, like if one part of the body suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, he goes on to say, and each one of you is part of it. So we are part of this wonderful thing called the church, this much maligned organization called the church. And it is picked on, it is ignored, it is mocked, and yet it is something very close to the heart of God because it was created by him through Jesus Christ to be an agent of change within the world, to change hearts and minds, and to bring the gospel message to the lost. And if you're a Christian and you are not part of a local congregation, I cannot stress enough, you need to get your backside into a pew on a regular basis, because there is a church in your area that needs you and your gift or gifts to be in attendance regularly. I cannot stress that enough. The fourth point I would say is that all the gifts are important. This is a fact that each Christian needs to understand thoroughly and to fix it in his mind. Every single gift is important. Now, let me read Paul's list of gifts here. Beginning to read a verse, where am I here? I'm way down at the bottom of the page. Okay, verse 8. Now here's a list of gifts. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. Now we're going to talk about what all of these are in the weeks to come, all right? Each gift will have a week, a study, you know. But I'm just going to enumerate them here. To each one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. That's one gift. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts. Notice that's plural. Gifts of healing by that one Spirit. And when Paul says by that one Spirit, by means of the same Spirit, he's simply saying that these gifts are coming from the Holy Spirit. They don't come from anywhere else, just from the Holy Spirit. Verse 10, to another, miraculous powers, or the ability to perform miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. Discernment. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. And then Paul stresses again, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one or to each member of the church, the body of Christ, just as he determines. So, excuse me, so you've got these gifts of the Spirit, and every single one is important, every single one. No one gift is more important than the others. Now, you might think, for example, that the ability to work miracles is like a major gift, but it's no more important than the ability to discern or distinguish between spirits, right? You may think that being able to heal somebody of a sickness or a disease or to cast a demon out of someone is a pretty important phenomenal gift, but it is no more important than the gift of wisdom, right? Or the message of knowledge or any of the other gifts. Some gifts, granted, may be flashier than the others, and this was a particular problem in the Corinthian church. It's like the gift of speaking in tongues was the gift that everybody thought was so great. It's the gift that everybody wanted to have because everybody that was speaking in tongues they were being patted on the back and they were being honored and they were being praised and yada, yada, yada. And that's why Paul wrote what he did here to say that, no, they're all equally important. No one gift is more important than the other one, right? Absolutely. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are the gifts of the sovereign God. He gives them to who he thinks deserves them or should exercise them. Let me put it that way. Anything that anyone can do for God is important. Each believer is to take inventory of his abilities, his talents, and to thank God for them and to use them according to the plan of God and the will of God. The gifts of the Spirit are not native talents or abilities. The gifts of the Spirit are special abilities put in you because the Holy Spirit is in you. And just like you are to use your native talents and abilities to glorify God, so you are to use your gifts or gift or gifts to glorify God. And this is a fact that will make the world take notice. It's the gifts of the Spirit. It's the gifts of the Spirit that make each individual member of the church important. Do you understand that? I've often heard, I've never understood this thinking before, but I've often heard some people say, you know, I've gone to church and the pastor's, he didn't shake my hand. You know, they left the church because they felt like they weren't welcome. And well, okay, shame on that church for not making you feel welcome. But you also need to understand that that as a person, you know, attending a church or maybe seeking to join that church, God has called you to be a part of a local congregation. And he has called you to be a part of a local congregation, not just or not necessarily to give you something, but there's something you have that you can contribute to a local congregation, namely your gift or gifts of the Spirit and your own native talents and abilities. Don't discount those. Okay? So the gifts of the Spirit make every single member important. Okay? So you could be a little old lady member of the church. And maybe you can't get out every week anymore, especially in the wintertime. You're arthritic. You have a lot of pain. It's hard to walk. You don't want to slip and fall and break another hip or something. So you're careful. You want to go to church, but you can't necessarily get there all the time. So you're stuck at home. Well, you're still a member of that church. And not only do you deserve ministry from that church, like if you're a shut-in, you need to be visited. People need to draw, you know, not just by the pastor. That's not just his job. I mean, every member of the church needs to look after every other member of the church. But you need to be ministering to the church as well, even from home. So you might be thinking, what can I do? Well, you can pray. Okay, now maybe you have a special gift of the Spirit that enables you to pray like nobody else. Okay, and that's from a list of gifts elsewhere in the New Testament. That's not particularly one that we're going to talk about here in 1 Corinthians 12. But you can pray like there's no tomorrow. You have this ability. You have this ability to empathize and sympathize with people's needs, and that's a special gift. We need people to pray. I can tell you as a pastor, I need people in my church to pray, not just for me, but also for me. Okay, nothing happens in this world unless somebody is praying for it to happen. So if you can't be in church, you can't teach Sunday school, maybe you can't, you know, lead in worship or something, you're just not talented like that. Okay, maybe you have another gift. Maybe you have the gift of generosity. That's also a gift of the Spirit. Lord knows we need generous givers in the church. Not everybody has the gift of generosity. That's a spiritual gift. And we need people like that in the church. They keep the church running. That's a spiritual gift that doesn't get a lot of press. How about the gift of hospitality? You know people in your church with the gift of hospitality? Nobody's a stranger. Not only do they open up their homes for traveling evangelists or preachers, but they're the ones that, I mean, they just when there's a visitor in church, they're all over them, like, what do they say, white on rice or whatever. I mean, it's an amazing thing to see a person exercising the gift of hospitality. So there are all kinds of gifts that go unnoticed. And those gifts, working alongside a person's natural talents and abilities, my Lord, when you're in a church that's functional, not dysfunctional, there are functional churches out there, it's a wonderful thing. It's a beauty to behold. And a person is blessed when they are a member of a congregation like that. And let's do our last point here. All the gifts are according to the biblical message. Now, the Bible is the inspired word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. There's no way the Spirit could inspire the writing of the Bible and then contradict himself in the spiritual gift. So every single spiritual gift, regardless of what it is, when it is manifested, it will always go according to scriptures. In other words, it will never do anything. The person exercising the gift will never add to scripture, will never try to change scripture, will never do anything that is unbiblical, let's put it that way. All right, so the gifts of the Spirit always work according to the teachings of the Word of God. So that's really important to keep in mind, because some of the gifts involve preaching and teaching and things like that, the speaking gifts, and they don't add to Scripture. They don't take anything away from Scripture. And the Bible is also the recorded revelation of God. And the Holy Spirit uses the Scriptures to inspire and to inform believers. He also gives the human mind the ability to understand the revelation found in Scriptures. And all those things are a work of God. So, as a Christian, you have a gift or gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it becomes your privilege to discover them and then use them for the glory of God within the local church. That's on you. That's all on you. And, you know, I said a second ago that it is a privilege to discover them. It really is. It really is. And we're going to talk about coveting, you know, spiritual gifts and so on, because Paul talks about that. It's perfectly appropriate to, you know, if you don't think you have a certain gift and you think you should have it, you can pray about it. You can pray for it. But in the end, it's God himself who decides who receives what gift. And you need to pray that God will show you what gift or gifts you have. And here's the really interesting thing, too, is that these gifts, some of them, they will come and go as needed. In other words, you're not going to manifest your gift every single week at church. You're not going to give a prophecy every week. Or you're not going to heal everybody. And you're walking down the corridor of the hospital. You're not going to just wave your arms and heal everybody every time you walk down that corridor. So the gifts will come and go as they are needed for the maximum benefit, both to the glory of God and to the particular individual or individuals who are being ministered to by the gift at that particular moment. So that's something to keep in mind too. Well, all right, it's almost 30 minutes past the hour. That's it for today. So keep those 5 points in mind, because they all relate to every single spiritual gift. Let me just go through them again real quick. All the gifts are given to honor the Lord Jesus. All the gifts are for building up the church. All the gifts are for a common cause. All the gifts are important. And all the gifts are according to the biblical message. And let's leave it there for today. All right? Let's bow our heads and pray and ask the Lord to be with us on this freezing cold day in Southwest Virginia. Actually, I think the whole East Coast is kind of cold right now. I know the March for Life is going on up in D.C. today, and they're calling for a high, I think, of about 28, which is, you know, bitterly cold for them. I think we're not going to break 20 degrees today. But let's pray, because wherever you are, you need prayer. Whatever your weather is doing, you need prayer. Heavenly Father, oh, we love you so much, Lord. You give to us. You never stop giving to us. We thank you, Father, for the gift of salvation. You thought enough to save us. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Holy Spirit, your abiding presence in our lives. It means so much to know that you are with us. And thanks to the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we can feel your presence wherever we are. We thank you, Lord, for the gifts of your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to discover just what gift or gifts we have been given. Not so that we can brag about it, but so that we can glorify you and help others. Lord, we thank you for your love. We wish that we loved you as much as you love us. Maybe someday we will. But Lord, you know our hearts. We do love you. Help us to love you more. Father, keep us all safe and sound and healthy till we can meet together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, gang, that's it. We'll see you Monday back here for Monday's Panic Podcast. We're going to continue looking at our great salvation. But have a good weekend. Enjoy your church service. Don't forget, we've got the video sermon Sunday. If you can't get to church, be sure to tune into our video sermon found here on the website or Facebook or Telegram and other social media places. And don't forget the three-minute devotionals we call 3 Minutes with Mike. Brand new series starts Monday morning. We got you covered here at Mike's Place on the web. We care about you and we pray for you. God bless you all. We'll see you again real soon.